The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
Sheila Killian has written her first novel. It is inspired by a family tragedy, the Ku Klux Klan and her great aunt, called Something Bigger. She joins me this morning. How are you doing, Sheila?
Hi, Baz. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Listen, straight away, will you tell us about the woman who inspired you to write this story?
Yeah, well, the woman is Marcella Coyle, who we knew as Auntie Fiss when I was growing up. And it's kind of like you've been talking about, you know, the time when you're a child, it's very special, and the people you interact with, children and old people, can get quite close. So Auntie Fiss, I knew her as a very old lady. She had spent all her life, most of her life, in the Deep South in Alabama. She went over from Roscommon when she was only 14.
What period are you talking about? What time are you talking about?
Okay, she went to the States in 1903 when she was 14. And she came back. She did visit in between, but she came back in the kind of mid-60s, around the time I was a baby, and basically stayed with us for the rest of her life. So I knew her as a kind of a grandmother figure. But, of course, by then she was a real Southern lady. You know, she had the Southern drawl and she used all the Southern slang. And
she must have stood out quite a lot, I imagine, did she?
She was fairly exciting there in South Roscommon in the 60s and 70s. She was a very interesting lady. And she told us all these stories of the South, and particularly the big story that defined her, I think, was the story about her brother, who is Father James Coyle, who is the priest that she went out to live with. He was much older than her. And he was actually came into conflict with the Ku Klux Klan in Birmingham, Alabama. And that was, I think, the big defining event of her life. And she still talked about it, even 50 or 60 years later, to us as small children.
That's amazing. So she ended up living with the brother when she immigrated. Is that right?
Yeah, she went over to live with him. And so she finished her schooling over there. And she was only 14, you know, and at the time going to the States, you know, you didn't know if you'd come back or not come back. And going to Alabama was unusual enough for Irish people because, you know, the big Irish-American stories are mostly around New York and Chicago and Boston. So Alabama and the Deep South generally around that time was a very different place.
It's a very I've travelled there around quite a lot of there, and it's still quite different, isn't it?
Isn't it?
You know,
yeah,
it feels very alien. Tell me, what was the brother's name?
Brother's name was James Coyle, Father James Coyle.
Okay,
James Edwin.
So tell me,
Jimmy, as we knew him.
Jimmy. So tell me about Jimmy. What was Jimmy's story?
Well, Jimmy was also grew up in South Roscommon, became a priest, ordained in Rome, and went straight over to the States. That was common enough at the time for priests to go to America. And he was a teacher first in Alabama, and then he took over this big, busy parish in Birmingham, Alabama. And Birmingham was a big boom town. It was very driven by money, and it was very driven by coal and steel. So when World War I came along, there were fortunes being made. And obviously America was completely allied with Britain. So then Ireland became independent, and Jimmy was delighted. And this kind of was strike one against Jimmy, if you like. He seemed slightly traitorous. Also, he was Catholic, and the Ku Klux Klan revived, and they were quite anti-Catholic. But the biggest thing is, I guess, he was very egalitarian. He didn't distinguish between people.
He was progressive in that way, wasn't he?
Very progressive, which is very unusual at the time. Like, when I was researching his life, the novel is fiction, but I was researching his life. Like, he was an honorary member of a lot of Italian associations and the Syrian Brotherhood. And it's not the usual Irish-American story. He was he just saw everybody as equal, which should be normal, but wasn't really normal at the time.
And, of course, the Ku Klux Klan, they had issues with Catholicism, obviously, and then, I suppose, the masses were in Latin and things like that, so obviously they didn't like
The way they talked about Catholics, it kind of like, it really had echoes when I was writing the book of, like, you know, the later years of the Trump presidency or populism in Britain or even here. You know, the way some people talk about immigrants and they talk about people of different religions as being kind of not to be trusted and not really loyal. And that's the way people talked about Catholics at the time. Like, it's complete racism.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it. Tell me this. Take me up to the events that happened on the 21st of August in 1921.
Okay. Well, Jimmy was already in the crosshairs of the clan, if you like, because he had taken issue with them very publicly. He debated a lot in the newspapers. He was very articulate, outspoken kind of a man. Marcella was living in the rectory. She was helping out in parish work, so she lived with him. This had also become her second childhood home, if you like. She lived there from when she was 14. She's now in her 30s, and Jimmy, I think, is 46. So, basically, a wedding service was performed. And the bride and groom, the bride was a young woman, and the groom was a little older. He was a Puerto Rican man. He was Catholic. She was not. She converted to Catholicism to marry him. Her dad was in the Ku Klux Klan. And this enraged him in all manner of ways. His precious daughter becoming a Catholic, marrying a man who, like, is Puerto Rican. But for him, that wasn't white
except
enough.
Basically. What was the reaction to that?
The reaction was quick and fatal, Baz. That very evening, he walked up to the rectory and shot my granduncle dead.
Unbelievable. And tell me this, was that big news at the time in the US?
It was huge news in the US, and it still remains big news in Birmingham. Jimmy's very well remembered in Birmingham, more than he is, Birmingham, Alabama, that is, more than he is here. So he's still remembered in, obviously, in Catholic circles and in the parish, but he's also, and this is something the family are very proud of, he's remembered in the Birmingham Institute of Civil Rights, which is, that's a big museum of civil rights. You know, it kind of links to Martin Luther King and so on. It's an important one. And, like, Jimmy is one of very few. There are two Irish guys that I know of who are there. One is Jimmy, which we're really pleased of. The other is the Bull Connor, who was the police chief in the 1960s civil rights, who is remembered slightly differently. He's very well remembered there. Even, like in bookshops or in the library, you mention, like, when I was there.
What a man. What a man. Like, honestly, to leave your mark there. Tell me this. Did you go there to write the book? Did you spend some time in the Deep South?
I did get to spend some time there. And, like, you've travelled there, so you know it's one thing to read about it. But you really need to go there and you hear. Like, there's still a big separateness there, isn't there? Did you find that?
I did. I found it an unusually alien place,
yeah.
When you compare it to the back of the landscape of travelling through America. It stood. There's parts of it I loved, but there was parts of it I found quite eerie, if I'm honest with you, you know?
Yeah, similarly. And we had lived in South Africa for a while, so it had echoes of that, you know, like, apartheid is obviously long gone, but there's still a division that isn't just based on income, like, it's still based on race. So it is good to experience that and to feel it and to see, you know, what people, the way people talk and what they mean by when they say what they say, which isn't always obvious until you're there.
I have to ask, what happened to your aunt? It's just, I'm getting you to tell me the whole book now. But
luckily, it's not the whole book, because the book is fiction. But in real life,
yeah,
Marcella, like, she came back home in her old age. She lived all her life in the Deep South. She stayed there afterwards. She moved to Mobile. Obviously, she'd been living in the rectory, so there she lost another home. You know, she couldn't live there anymore. Her brother wasn't a priest. So she came back home in kind of the mid-60s, and she lived with my dad, who was her nephew. And so she lived with us, and for us, for particularly the younger ones in my family, myself and my brother,
yeah.
She was a real warm grandmother figure. Like, you know, she'd read the stories and she'd buy us jelly sweets, and she was an exciting kind of figure.
She sounds fantastic. Sheila, I could talk to you all day. Tell me the name of the book.
It's Something Bigger, and it's published by Caritas Press, and it's available. It's available through the usual outlets, like O'Mahony's, and Charlie Burns certainly have it, and you can get it online, but it's good to support an Irish bookshop.
Absolutely. Listen, I will be getting that today. Listen, fantastic. Sheila, thank you so much for chatting to me.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care. Listen, yeah. Listeners, thank you very much. I'll be back tomorrow from 9. Stay tuned for Philip Bosher Hayes.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.